This is TWiT.
Bandwidth for Know-How is brought to you by CashFly.
This episode of Know-How is brought to you by the Ring Video Doorbell. With Ring, you can see and talk to anyone at your door from anywhere in the world using your smartphone. It's like caller ID for your house. Right now, get free expedited FedEx shipping when you go to ring.com/know-how. And by Wealthfront. Wealthfront is a low-cost, automated investment service and the most sophisticated way to invest your money. Whether you've got millions or you're just starting out, visit wealthfront.com/know-how and sign up to get your free personalized investment portfolio. That's wealthfront.com/know-how. On today's show,
you'll know how to reprogram your ESCs.
Welcome to Know How. It's the TWiT show where we build, bend, break, and upgrade. I'm Father Robert Ballasser.
And I'm Brian Burnett.
And for the next 45 minutes or so, we're going to show you some of the projects that we've been geeking out with so you can take them home and geek out on your own.
That's right. I feel like we haven't been standing on this set for a little while.
Yeah, we're doing, because I go away a lot.
You've been busy geeking out on other stuff.
I've been busy geeking out on other continents.
Yeah, right?
So that does take away from my know-how time in studio, but we're going to make it up for them because we've got a fun episode. Not Sweet. Only are we going to be showing people how to reprogram their ESCs, get a bit more performance, and actually a bit better design out of their multi-rotor craft, but we've also got this.
What? It's Raspberry Pi stuff. Just some Raspberry, little Raspberry Pi touchscreen.
Yeah, touchscreen, maybe Raspberry 2. Oh, and a Raspberry Pi 3.
What?
Yeah, that's the new hotness, folks. What? We actually had this before it was officially released. I've been playing around with it. It is a fantastic machine. Okay. I mean, not only is it faster than the two, it has onboard Wi-Fi, and it's a nicer package than what they had before.
There's, like, no difference.
It's still $35. You'll notice the only real difference, if you look at, that's a two, that's a three.
Right.
It uses the same GPIO. It uses the same ports layout, so you've got the four USB, you've got the Ethernet, four SB and Ethernet.
That makes sense.
You've got the same HDMI and audio. So everything looks the same, but if you take a closer look, you'll see this right here.
What?
On the two, that's where you would normally have the LEDs to show power and activity.
Right.
This is not an LED. That's actually the wireless combo antenna.
That's crazy. Yeah.
So what they've added on board is you now have Wi-Fi 802.11n plus Bluetooth and Bluetooth LE.
Nice.
Yeah. So this is really something that's been a long time coming because you know this. We've both done a lot of Raspberry Pi projects.
Yes.
The dongle. You got to have the dongle.
The
Wi-Fi adapter or the going over to the keyboard and the mouse. And it always kind of makes it a little unclean because now you've got stuff hanging off your Pi.
Yeah, definitely. That was one of the biggest things for me when they added the extra USB ports because it's like after you put the mouse and the keyboard in, then you didn't have much room after that.
Oops. Yeah, exactly. And so what you can do now is you can have your wireless network without a dongle. Mm-hmm. You can have your keyboard and your mouse using Bluetooth. And actually, there's a package, especially now since it now has far more performance than the original Pi, to send video wirelessly. Basically do a remote terminal.
I like that. Yes. That's cool.
So there are much more options. The people who just want to play with the Pi, they're just going to love the fact that there's a lot of speed. There's a whole lot of speed in this. And if you're doing something like this, so this is the official 7-inch touchscreen that that we've been playing with. This is, I actually made a little 3D printed stand for this thing.
Right.
It's nice to have a lot of power on this.
You made that stand? That's cute.
Yeah,
look at that little guy.
Cute little stand guy. Ooh, look at that.
That's pretty good.
It's a really complicated design, by the way.
Yeah, after your goggle design that you did.
But I'm wanting to get a couple more of these. So we have the one unit. I think we need to fill the no hole with these because, as you know, when you just have hardware hanging around, that's when you kind of get ideas.
Yeah, well, I had a webcam laying around. I had Raspberry Pi laying around, so I just quickly made a security camera one recently, which then Burke found. I really crummily hid it inside of a box. It was supposed to be pretty obvious, and he taped over it. I think he was angry that I was spying on him.
Yeah, yeah. Well, we'll get back to spying on Burke in just a bit, but Brian, let's step away from the Razz Pie because we've got some good news, everybody.
Oh,
that's
really?
Horrible at that. I'm not.
If this is anything like Futurama, that means bad news.
No. This is the actual good news.
Oh, okay. Thank
you. Now, when we've been playing with our FPV 150,
yeah.
One of the questions that people have had about the build that we've already done is we've soldered everything in, right? Because we wanted to save weight.
Right.
The whole
every
idea.
Every little bit counts on this.
Every little bit counts. And in fact, what we've done with this, if you go to the overhead view or the side view here, Alex, because we've taken out the bullet connectors, because we've cut down all the excess wire, we have a much lighter craft. In fact, just dumping that extra wire and, mm-hmm. and the little 2mm bullet connectors, we've chopped about 20% of the weight off of our current build.
That's crazy.
And that's a crazy amount of weight for what is essentially nothing.
Right. And I mean, their whole goal with this is to stay under 250 grams. And so the more weight you can save means you could probably put a bigger battery on there.
A bigger battery.
Maybe a GoPro session.
Possibly. Yeah. Or at the very least, it means you get more performance because the lighter you make the craft, the faster it's going to go, the more agile it's going to be. But unfortunately, what that means is if you go to the action cam here, Alex, it means that here, where we would normally have the ability to swap out cables, everything is now soldered in. Everything is hardwired. So we don't have the flexibility that we do in our larger build.
We've lost our modular capability.
Hmm. Precisely. So what we want to do is we're going to actually show you how we fix that.
Oh.
Okay.
All right. Well, because this is probably going to be crashed a lot.
It's crashed a whole lot.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Yeah. You wouldn't believe how much this is going to crash.
But smaller weight means less inertia when it hits something. So.
Correct.
It'll
survive more.
A little bit less of a power-to-weight ratio than our 250 build it had, right?
Precisely. But first, let me show you a little something. So here is our motor tester. We're not actually going to be testing any props on this. Instead,
okay, good.
Actually,
I saw you don't have the motor guard on here.
Right.
Or the prop guard.
I'm not trying to protect you this time. If you go ahead and go to the side view here, Alex. And so this is a little thing that we're going to use to demonstrate a principle of how we normally fix motor rotation on our quadcopters. Brian, if you'll remember, in your craft, let's assume that this is the front and this is the back.
Right.
This arm one, arm mm-hmm. two, arm three, arm four. You're always going clockwise.
Right.
Arm one runs clockwise.
And then counterclockwise for two.
Then clockwise and counterclockwise.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And that's if you don't do it that way, your quadcopter won't work properly.
It's not going to fly.
We've actually had very interesting cases show up on the Google Plus page where the people have run it all in the same direction.
Just to see what happens?
And it just keeps spinning and spinning.
Yeah,
and spinning.
That's not going
to
work.
That's not good. And normally what you have to do is you power it up the first time, and then you just quickly run up the motors, and you see which way they're spinning.
Right.
And then if they're not spinning the correct way, you flip two of the motor leads, and it fixes it.
Would be a huge pain, though, because you've soldered all these in.
And that is no bueno.
So test beforehand? Is that what you're saying?
Well, no, you can't, because you have to have them connected in order to test, right?
Right.
You have to have them connected to the ESC, to the motor, and you have to have the ESC connected to the battery.
Okay.
That's all soldered in. There are no longer any bullet connectors, so it's not like I can swap them in and out easily.
Okay.
So let's look at this. This is a quick demonstrator. Go ahead and grab the action cam and show them this.
All right.
This is just the motor on the stand, and if I spin this thing up, if I do this, you can see which way I'm turning, because you see how it deflects up, right?
Right.
So right now, this motor is spinning clockwise.
Makes sense.
In relation to the camera, right? Now, if I needed that to spin counterclockwise, all I have to do is I have to flop three of these. So if you go back to the action cam, these are the three motor leads that I've got right now.
Mm-hmm.
What I'm going to do is I'm going to swap any two. It doesn't matter which two. I'll just do this. And when I do that,
you madman.
What will happen is when I power this back up, spin it up again, you'll now notice, see how it's deflecting the other way?
Reverse polarity.
Yep. So now the motor is spinning in the proper rotation.
Cool.
So that's how it works if I had connectors.
Right. But we don't.
We don't have connectors.
So
we have it soldered in. So there's got to be another way to do it, right, Brian? Because obviously I'm not going to expect our builders, our makers, to desolder something that they just put together.
I feel like if I did it, I'd just get it right the first time. No problem.
Maybe that would happen.
Get lucky.
But most likely, not so much with that.
No.
Now, here's how we test. I'm going to take a device like this. This is just a servo tester. You could go into eBay. Mm-hmm. I bought like 10 of these for 50 cents each.
Right.
I just have a bunch of them. In fact, hey, Brian, you know what?
What?
Just because I love you so much.
Can I have one?
I got one for you.
Oh, man, okay. It's still in the package. Yeah. Sweet.
Merry Christmas, happy birthday, happy Hanukkah.
All those holidays.
Yeah. So what this will allow us to do is to spin up the motors without having it connected to a flight controller. Because obviously we don't have a flight controller in here yet.
Right.
We don't have a radio system in here yet. But we do need to test the rotation of the motors.
Okay.
Now, I've got this hooked up to a little, it's a four-way split. So it's going to be sending the same signal to all four motors. And all I'm going to do is I'm going to send the signal to the ESC saying go ahead and spin up.
Okay.
Okay, so I'm going to go ahead. And it doesn't matter which way I connect this, as long as I do black on black, signal on signal.
Okay.
And remember, these are opto ESCs, so they don't have a battery eliminator circuit inside of them, which means I don't have to worry about them pushing out voltage to the. Actually, that one would be reversed. I don't have to worry about them pushing out voltage in the wrong direction. So there we go. And if you look, black to black, black to black, black to black,
black to black.
Black to black.
Don't reverse those.
Now what I need to do is I need two power sources. One power source is going to go into the power distribution board so that I can power up the ESCs and the motors.
Okay.
Like so. And then one is going to go into the servo tester because I need power to drive the signal to the ESCs.
Makes sense.
Okay. So what I can do now is once I... There we go.
Whoa. It's making music.
It's calibrating.
Beep, 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 beep.
Oh, hold on. There we go. There we go.
Ah, so
now,
okay.
So now I'm spun up. And remember, this is the rear.
Right.
That's the front. So what did we say?
One.
This one should be clockwise. This
two.
One should be counterclockwise. That should be clockwise. That should be counterclockwise. So let's see which ways they're spinning. So this one, that's spinning clockwise. Because see how it's deflecting?
Perfect.
Okay, this one is spinning. Uh-oh. Yeah, that's spinning counterclockwise. So those two are right. This one is spinning. Okay, that's supposed to be going clockwise, and it's going counterclockwise.
Right.
That's a problem. And this one is spinning. Okay, that's a problem because that's supposed to be going counterclockwise, and that's going clockwise.
Okay, so basically right, they're in parallel. These ones are the same. These ones are the
Precisely.
Same.
Precisely.
That would
so
not fly well.
The front two motors are spinning the right direction. The rear two motors are spinning the opposite direction.
So we got to reverse that.
Yeah. So if we were just going to swap cables, it means I would now have to desolder the wires from the ESCs. And
which would be such a
that
huge
would be a
pain.
Huge pain. We're dealing with tiny, tiny little motors. I don't want to do that, Brian. Do you?
No.
Good. Because there is another way.
Okay.
And the other way involves either one of these or one of these.
Those look like Arduino Unos?
They are actually just Arduinos.
Okay.
So these are a way to use the Arduino to have your computer communicate with the ESC and actually change the firmware settings on the ESC rather than having to rewire them.
Huh.
So in other words,
cool.
What I'm going to do is I'm going to tell the ESC, just think of the values backwards.
Wow, okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Can you do this with the other builds that we've done, but it's just easier to swap the bullet
you
connectors?
You can if the ESC supports it. Some really cheap ESCs actually don't have a really good way to talk to the onboard firmware.
Okay.
Most of them do, and actually all of the ones we've done on the show, in this build, do.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah. But, okay, what we're going to do is we're actually going to use an Arduino Nano. I'm not even going to give you the link to this because we've had it in so many different projects. This one actually came from Ready to Fly Quads, but I bought them from eBay for $2 a pop.
Nice.
Or $4 a pop if I wanted to pay a bit more for, you know, a few more quality assurances.
Right.
But all it is, if you go to the overhead, it's my board and it's a couple of pins, right? So I've got my header pins. I only need three. Now, if you wanted to reuse this, so you wanted to be able to use this Arduino at some point in the near future for another project, then by all means, install all the pins. But I don't want to do that. All I want to do is I want to install the three pins right here. If you actually get really close, I don't know. I want to get the ground pin, and I want to get D3.
Okay, yeah, I can see that.
So ground and D3, those are the only two pins, really, I need to reprogram my ESC. So what's going to happen is my computer's going to talk to the Arduino is going to talk to the ESC.
Perfect.
All right,
cool.
So, hey, you know what it's time for?
What?
It's time for a little soldering.
Oh, sweet.
Yeah, let's do that.
At the desk here?
At the desk. I know, we shouldn't do this. John hates it when we do this because we are very likely to get third-degree burns. But I thought, let's do a little something-something. Mix up the monotony that we normally have.
Because, you know, whenever we try and do projects here at the desk, they always work flawlessly.
People tend to get hurt.
Yeah, right?
So that's probably why they don't like us doing it. Let me get some of this extra stuff off the desk.
Okay.
What we're going to do is we're going to... this is sort of like a parallel bit of know-how. People have been asking about proper soldering. And the through-hole is something that you do need to master. Because if you don't know how to do the through-hole, it's going to be very difficult for you to do a lot of the projects that we do on know-how.
Okay.
Okay.
Hey, this is the same one you got me.
This is the exact same one I got you, except this one is actually out of the package.
Yeah, well, I haven't had any soldering projects since, was that Christmas?
Yeah, you know, you make yourself the soldering project,
I need to do
Brian.
That, yeah.
All right. Here's what we're going to do. We don't want all the pins, because what I don't want is I don't want someone to accidentally plug the pins into the wrong socket.
Right, okay.
You could actually blow out the Arduino that way.
And that would be a big pain.
That would be a big pain. So what I'm going to actually do is I'm going to take this, and if you go to the overhead, Alex, I'm going to score right here. So I want three pins.
Yeah, get in there close.
Some people try to cut these with snips, with dikes,
mm-hmm.
or just with scissors. Don't do that, because if
it?
You try to do that, it's actually going to break the entire bracket.
Oh, okay.
So what we want to do is we don't need to cut all the way through. We just need to score it enough so that we can snap it. So I'm just going to put a little bit of light pressure, rock it back and forth. All I'm doing is I'm giving it a break line. So when I do try to snap this,
it
should come right.
Ah!
Or
my eye.
Or I could push so hard that it just pops off.
Just shoots That's, up in the
yeah,
air.
Yeah, that works too. Yeah. Okay, all right. I could have stopped way before I got to that point.
But you didn't.
But I
typical
didn't.
Know-how. Yeah.
Actually, it was kind of fun.
Yeah.
Because I got to pop something at your face.
Yeah.
I got my helping hands. Mm-hmm. What you can do, actually, if I was going to install the full set of pins, I could just put in both rows and then put it upside down.
Oh, okay, yeah.
But because I'm only putting in three, it would be uneven. It wouldn't rest properly.
Right, okay.
So if you go ahead and show that on the action cam. Again.
All right, action cam.
Those are the three pins I want. I want ground, D2, and D3.
Ground, D2, okay.
All right, so I'm going to take this, and I'm going to put it in ground, D2, and D3. Double check. Make sure you're putting it into the right through holes, because there's nothing worse than soldering it in and then realizing I just soldered it into the wrong place.
And then you cry a little bit.
Cry a little bit, and you desolder it and try it again. I'm going to go ahead and tack it. This is something that you're going to learn how to do. I just want to hold it in.
Right.
So that it will stay there while I reposition.
And then you can do the rest of the soldering.
Correct, correct. Okay. So I'm going to put a little solder on the tip of my iron.
Okay.
It's warm enough.
Ooh, baby.
Okay. And let's get all action cammy up here in here, Brian.
All right.
Remember, one of the things to remember when you're soldering is you're not heating the solder.
Right.
You want to heat either the wire or the through-hole or the pin, and then you apply the solder to the wire, the through-hole, or the pin.
Right. There's those little pads on the board that you would heat up.
Exactly.
Right?
And the reason why you want to do that is the worst thing that you can do while you're soldering is just to put a blob of solder, and it's not actually flowing onto the surfaces, because then that's what's called a cold solder joint. That's muy bad.
Muy.
Muy, muy bad. But what you can do, if the heat's not transferring enough, put a little bit of solder onto the edge of your iron tip,
mm-hmm.
and that will do is it will allow the heat to transfer more quickly.
Cool. Right. Did Smitty teach you that one?
Yeah. So I'm applying heat. You don't want too much, and then... As soon as I get a little bit of that, okay, that's tacked in. Second one.
Sweet.
A little bit. Come on, baby. Tacked.
Oh, yeah. The sweet smell of solder. Do not breathe that in.
Tacked. Okay, so now I've got my three pins that are tacked in. So if I lift this up, it's not going to go anywhere. Now, you'll notice that they're crooked.
No.
And that's okay, because all I wanted to do is I wanted to hold it in there. So what I can do is I can sort of move them into position.
Mm-hmm.
And you reflow the solder so that it straightens up.
Ah, okay.
And there we go. See? Now I've got my three pins. They're in proper alignment. And if you look here, my solder joints are just fine. This is actually what you want your solder joints to look like. you don't, oh, actually mine are kind of messy. You don't want a big old blob. The worst thing that you can do is to have them bridge the joints. So if you bridge the through holes, that's muy bad.
Yeah, because then you could cause it to burn out, right?
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's also just, it's bad. It looks ugly. It looks embarrassing. because then what happens is you go to DEF CON and you meet someone like Smitty and he looks at your work and he's like, so, drunk?
Yeah, right. So you were blindfolded when you did this? Nice.
That's really good for a blind person. And actually, he said that to me the first time I ever met him. He was helping with my badge. He goes, oh, that is not a good job. You should not feel good about yourself.
Your solder's bad and you should feel bad.
You should feel bad. Mm-hmm. All right. So what we're going to do is we're going to go ahead and connect this to the computer. Like so.
Cool.
Now, there's no firmware on this. There's no software on the Arduino.
Right.
We're going to have to put it on. Something real quick. If you go to my computer, Alex, if you've been playing with a lot of Arduinos, what might happen is you might end up with a lot of different Arduinos in your device list. That can be confusing because you're not sure which one is the one that you just plugged in. If you're running a Windows box, if you go to Properties into the Device Manager and then go down to the COM ports, you actually find out which one it is. So right now, this is hooked up as serial port 3, COM 3.
Okay.
But, like, if I had had many, many devices plugged into this computer, different types of Arduinos, it might be COM 6. Actually, if you go back to that screen, you can see how many I've had active at any given point. Because I'm on 7 and 8 at the end. So just know that's sort of a cheat. That's an easy way. So I know I'm connected to COM port 3.
Cool.
I put a link into the show notes for the software that we're going to be using. It's called the BL, the Blue Heli Suite. The latest version is 14.401. This is the software that's going to allow us to reprogram our ESCs.
Okay, yeah, because I've never used anything other than the Arduino IDE.
Precisely. So if you go ahead and go to my computer again, Alex, this is what it looks like. I'm just going to start it up. Again, I've put the link for the software into the show notes, so you can just get them from there. This is what it looks like. The first thing I have to do, if you go and zoom in on that, Alex, the first thing I'm going to have to do is I'm going to have to program my Arduino so that it knows how to talk to the ESC.
Huh, okay.
And that means I'm going to go to here, make interface. So this is going to turn the Arduino into an interface between the computer and the ESC.
That's awesome.
Right. I have to choose the type of Arduino I'm using. And actually, I have this on the right one. But there's so many different types. So I don't have to use the Nano. I could use the full-size board. It's just the Nano is kind of the right size for me.
Yeah, we wouldn't want the full-size board.
It'd be kind of overkill.
Yeah.
It'd be very overkill. So I'm using a Nano with an Atmega 328. Make sure you match it up with the one that you've got. It's not going to destroy it. It just won't work properly.
Right.
And then you get to load the type of bootloader you want. In this case, I'm playing with Blue Heli ESCs, so that's what I'm going to load up.
Huh.
And so, yes, it's going to take some time. It's going to connect. It's going to push the firmware, and then I'm going to get a confirmation. Boom. Okay, Arduino has been successfully flashed.
That's cool.
So now this Arduino knows how to talk to the ESCs, and it knows how to talk to the computer, so it becomes the man in the middle. It's the translator.
Yeah, right? That's cool.
Okay, so if you go back to the interface, notice how it's going to say, please select SI Labs or Atmel. This is it saying, what type of ESC are you going to have me connected to?
Okay.
There are different types, and unfortunately, you're going to have to find out which version of the ESC and what kind of chip your ESC is using.
And you got your ESCs from Ready to Fly Quad?
Ready to Fly Quads. These were the micro Bs or mini Bs.
Mini Bs.
So I'm going to be using this. This is the Scilabs Blue Heli Bootloader USB COM.
Okay.
Okay. You could choose which one. You might have an Atmel chipset. You might have an Scilabs. You choose the one that you're actually using. So now it knows how to communicate and it knows what language to speak.
Cool.
All right. So now let's go back to the Scilabs ESC setup. I need to connect the ESC to this so that it could read. Now remember, the front two motors were good.
Mm-hmm.
The rear two motors were reversed, right?
Right.
So if you go to the overhead area here, Alex, what I'm going to do is I'm going to start with the left rear motor. And I'm going to connect it so that ground goes there. So this is what it's going to look like.
Okay.
And that's why I only use three pins, because if I use the full row, I could make a mistake. There's only three pins here. As long as I put the black on ground, we're happy.
Nice.
Okay. So I need to give power to this, because while I'm connected, the ESC is not yet powered on. So we're going to do this.
Okay, so battery power.
Right. So now it's got power. if you go back to my screen, Alex, the first thing I need to do is I need to read the settings. It needs to know what is the ESC setup for right now. So I have to tell it. So it's on COM3. So I've gone to USB COM3. Oh, it's down below. There we go. That menu right there. So this menu allows you to set the COM. You're going to be talking at 19200. That's 19,200 baud. That's your communication rate. And then you're going to click read. When you click read, there you go. It says ESC1 setup read successfully. Now, here's the thing. I'm only going to show one aspect of this software, but this is quite possibly the best way to tweak your quad. I'd say this is actually even more important than the flight controller, because flight controllers are pretty much, we know how to dial them in.
Right.
But a properly set up ESC can turn your gentle quad into a racing monster.
That's what I was about to ask, was that the next step, can you not overclock, but I guess tweak the ESC.
So you can tweak. I mean, here, if you go back to the screen, look at all the different, and this is not as advanced as it gets. These are all the different parameters I've got. One of my favorite is you can enable braking. These motors have the ability to apply a magnetic field that actually stops the motor. So imagine that. Remember how we talked about one of the issues of a quadcopter, especially one with bigger blades, is it takes a while for the motors to spin down. So even when you're not supplying power to it, you won't get as fast of a turn because the inertia kind of carries them for a while.
Right.
This could, you can actually program this to say when it goes less than 20% throttle on a motor, don't just let it spin down, apply a braking force. You could make the craft violently rock from one side to the
other. That's awesome.
I mean, you can, all those videos where you see people doing ridiculous acrobatics, they've got braking enabled, which allows them, you know, rather than having the quad do this sort of like, like one side just drops.
Oh, no, that's amazing. Yeah, because there's actually people in the chat room who are like, oh, isn't this kind of overkill to try and dial in your ESCs like that for this project? And I think we just realized, no, it's not, because then you can dial it in so precisely and do, like, those acrobatic stuff.
Yeah. I will say, become a good pilot before you start doing that.
Yeah.
This actually led to the demise of my last Know-How 250 class craft.
Ouch.
I thought it was awesome how quick I turned, but it really goes out of control very quickly, too.
Were you doing it by FPV, or were you...
No, I was line eyeball of sight, but when you can put a braking force, you can do flips so quickly.
Right. Jeez. So if you're tweaking the ESCs and say you're not 100% sure what the tweak is going to do, should you just slowly increment it as you go along?
Slowly increment, yeah. And just know that, especially as you're just learning it, it is an experimental craft, so make sure that it's nowhere near anything that you value.
Yeah, no, that's awesome.
Okay. So back to the screen. I know that this ESC is rotating the wrong direction, right? So all I have to do is this.
Perfect.
That's it. So I take that, and if you look at the bottom here, Alex, there's a little button called Right Setup. And when I click Right Setup, there you go.
That makes sense.
Now that ESC knows to rotate the other direction. Mm-hmm. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to go ahead and disconnect this. I'm going to power down. I'm going to reconnect this to my servo tester, and I'm going to power up just that motor. Get this right. There we go. Like this. And if you show the little action cam, Brian.
Yep.
Remember, this was spinning counterclockwise. We wanted it to spin clockwise. Now, it's spinning clockwise.
Clockwise. Awesome.
No soldering, no cutting of the cables. It's now spinning the proper direction.
Nice.
So this is an enabler. It means I can build myself a much sturdier craft without the bullet connectors.
Right.
And not only can I now fix rotation, but as I get a bit more advanced, I have far greater control over how my speed controllers work.
I think that's what I love about building something like this yourself, is that you can tweak every little part of it, instead of if you were just buying like a package that you threw together.
Right. We're going to continue a little bit because we have to describe how we're going to be taking this into the continued build, because we have to turn this into a full craft. But
I just
now
want to fly it now.
I know, I do, right? But now we know how to fix the rotation. And actually, this is a way that we're going to be doing it in all future builds. So we're going to have to cut the segment out so that you have it available for you.
Sure.
But before we do that, you know what I want to do, Brian?
What's that?
I want to talk about security.
Security?
Security.
And what kind of security?
Home security.
Oh, so you must be thinking of like a doorbell that has a camera on it?
Maybe. You know, maybe a way to turn my house into a smart home. Maybe something that takes something I take for granted, like people coming to the front door, and makes it something worthy of the digital age.
Yes. Well, and if you have a dog like me that barks when it hears the same ring every time and it drives you crazy, you could reprogram it to make a different noise.
Yes, you can.
Play some music.
Of course, we're talking about the Ring Video Doorbell. It is the device that I've been talking about for almost a year now. It's the device that I actually bought before they became a sponsor of this program.
For
my parents.
Yeah.
They live in Las Vegas in a community it's semi-retired, right?
Right.
Right. They live by themselves.
Most people are probably spending time at the golf course or the spa.
Yes, or up at the club. They have a very nice club. And unfortunately, what that means is it's a neighborhood of shady people. Sometimes.
Well, yeah. They know that they can go through in the afternoon and knock on doors. And if someone doesn't answer, chances are they're not home for the afternoon.
And you can go ahead and rob them. And that's exactly what's happened to some of the neighbors that my parents have had. And what will happen, you've seen videos of this, people will come up to the front door. And they'll have something. They look like they're official. And they'll ring the bell. And they'll just make sure no one's home. Mm-hmm. And then they know it's safe.
Right.
Especially in a retirement community where it's a target of opportunity. That's what happens all too often. Well, with the Ring Video Doorbell, you don't have to be at home to be at home. This is what you get inside the kit. Inside the Ring Video Doorbell kit, you're going to find not just the doorbell, but all the tools that you need to install it. Now, this is a fantastic piece of technology. Because not only will it tie into house power if you've got a doorbell there so that you'll never have to charge it, but if you don't have house power, you just plug in the micro USB cable in the back and you're good for a year. Now, what it will do with that power is phenomenal. It gives you a high-definition camera and motion detection sensor. So if someone comes up to the front door, you will get a notification saying, hey, yeah. I just detected someone. Or if someone rings the doorbell, you can actually start a two-way conversation where you can speak to them, you can hear them, and you can see them on your mobile device of choice.
Sounds cool.
Oh, here's what it looks like. For example, this is the actual Ring Video Doorbell that I have at my parents' home right now in Las Vegas. I've got an entire catalog of events that have occurred. And for example, you know, this was a truck. This was the garbage truck going by because I can actually hear it. This is from yesterday, Tuesday morning.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Yeah. So, it captures events like that. It will capture your neighbors coming up to the door. It will even capture people, say, dropping packages off. Folks, this is not just technology. It's peace of mind, and I suggest you try it. Why not put your mind at ease and get the gear that both Time Magazine and USA Today named as one of their top 10 gadgets? Go to ring.com/knowhow. That's ring.com/knowhow. And because they love the Twit TV audience, they're going to give you free expedited FedEx shipping. Again, that's ring.com/knowhow. Ring.com/knowhow. With Ring, you're always home. And we thank Ring for their support of Know How. All right, so Brian, we've got our motors turning in the right direction.
Right.
Let's look at what we're going to need to do over the next couple of weeks.
Okay.
Because we're not done. I mean, this is a nice build.
We can't just throw props on it this point?
Well, I mean, you could, but there's no brains. There's no flight controller. There's no FPV. We wouldn't be able to see it. And it is pretty dang small right now. So we probably are going to
do that. Hey, it's super light. Definitely under 250 grams.
It is super light. Remember how I said when we started this build that we had deliberately not chosen a flight controller because we wanted the people to choose a flight controller on their own?
Right. But will the flight controller reset any of the ESC settings?
No. So the flight controllers have nothing to do with the ESCs. They send a signal to the ESCs, and the ESCs will interpret
it from there.
Exactly. So once we set the ESCs, we're good to go.
Cool.
But here are some of the flight controllers that we have been mulling over. If you go to the overhead here, yeah, good. So this is a mini KK. I actually really like these because they're easy to set up. They're super basic.
It's so cute.
There's no frills, but I do have the firmware on this that does hybrid self-leveling, which means it acts like a trainer craft as long as you've got the stick near the middle.
Right.
But as you get to the edge of the gimbal,
it will
like disable all the safety features.
Okay.
So I like that. And actually, this is really light. This is a flip. One of the ones I really like. This is acrobatic. This is one I might consider using. You'll notice it also has the barometer, which is the altimeter, and a compass module. So you could actually do some hands-free flying with this one.
That's pretty crazy that all that's just incorporated in that little package.
Exactly. This is the new KK. So this is actually the same as that other KK. The difference is it doesn't have a screen. Mm-hmm. The screen's detachable. So you hook up the screen while you're tuning, and then you take it off when you're not, okay. Which is actually a nice saver of weight.
Sense. Does it? Have you weighed either of these against each other, the one with the screen and one without?
Yeah, it's, I mean, you gain like 2 grams, 3 grams.
Okay. But in this build, every gram counts.
Every gram counts. And then this is actually the one I think I'm going to use. This is a Flip 32 Pro.
Why this one over the others?
Just because, for two reasons. One, I there are a couple more advanced features. I do want the ability to be able to control WS2812 lights, because I'm going to put lights on this later on.
Yeah, it does help having front and rear lights when you're not for FPV, but when you're just eyeballing
it. Line of sight. And the other thing is, if you go to the overhead again, what we're eventually going to have to do is we're going to have to remove any pins. So here I don't have the pins installed. The reason why we're going to have to do that is, look at this, Brian. If I take even, let's say this one. So this is the one where the pins are off to the side.
Right.
The problem with that is, once I've installed this, those pins, the ESCs will be plugged in like this. And now they're really close to the props. I don't really want that, because you slice through an ESC wire with a prop and you crash. That's it.
Yikes.
Unfortunately, I can't use up and down, because if I try to use an up and down pin alignment, what will happen is when I put on the top shelf, notice how, so that's the top deck would be here. There's just not enough space for me to get the ESC leads in there.
Yeah.
So what we're going to end up doing is we're actually going to end up desoldering all of the pins, or using this flight controller that doesn't have any pins. We're going to cut these ESC leads to length, mm-hmm. and we're going to solder them directly into the board.
Yeah, and I like the idea of just having what you need, no extras.
Precisely. Yeah, exactly. And that goes along with the whole idea of every bit of weight that we can remove, we can remove. I mean, if you look at this, use the action cam again. If you look at the power leads, we've left ourselves a tiny bit of slack just in case there's damage and we have to fix it, right?
Yeah.
But there's nothing coiled. All the excess cable has been removed. So why not do the same thing for the ESC leads? We've already got them soldered to the motors. Why not solder them to the flight controller?
Wow, you've got these tucked down so nice too.
Right. And that's what we want. We're going for a nice, neat build. This is the first build that we've played with where weight really counts.
Definitely.
Yeah. So that's what we got to look forward to. Cool. I will say this. We are skipping next week. So next week you will not get a continuation of the FPV150 build, and that is because it's March 14th that week.
Special day.
It's a special day. It's Pi Day 3.14. Get it? So we're going to be doing all Raspberry Pi projects. What do you have cooked up?
So mine is using a Raspberry Pi 2. I tried using the 1. It was okay. You can do it with the 1. But it's basically a motion security cam. So when I'm working in the no hole in the basement, I'll know if somebody's sneaking up behind me. And if anybody tries to sneak in there and mess with my stuff.
And I've actually done this. So we've been teasing this for a while. This is the official 7-inch Pi screen. Mm-hmm. I show people how to actually install this. This is one of those strange things. This is sort of typical for Raspi.
Yeah.
Beautiful setup, but there are no real instructions. So I created some instructions. If you wanna know how to install it, great. I have these stands that I 3D printed, which, you know, they're not much, but what I'm thinking about doing is actually turning this into a like an undershelf computer for like the kitchen.
I see, yeah. That'd be cool.
And the nice thing about it is you can actually power it with something as simple as this USB battery. And
nice.
This actually looks really, really, really good. And so the Pi is booting up right now.
That's neat.
Right?
I'd love to have something like that integrated in my wall or something like that.
Yeah, you know? I mean, that's what this is for. This is such a thin bezel. Yeah. This would be perfect for a project like that. And the screen is actually really responsive. So this is not just a screen. It's a touch screen.
Nice. Yeah. Those, are they still really hard to find?
Because
I remember when they first came out, people were picking them up and then reselling them for...
Yeah, not as hard to find. They've kind of stabilized at about $60.
Okay.
Plus a little bit of shipping. It's still a bit more than when we interviewed them at World Maker Faire. They said, you know, we're trying to get this down to like $40 and $50.
There's no other vendors making screens for the Pi? No.
There are, but the nice thing about this is it works out of the box. So I did not tweak this at all. This is a default Raspbian installation, and it works perfectly with this touchscreen.
Cool.
And everything just fits. So... why not spend a couple of extra dollars and get one that's really nice?
Yeah.
Yeah. When we come back, it's your questions, our answers. And of course, since this is a build episode, we picked a bunch of quadcopter questions. But before we do that, hey, Brian, have you thought about what you're going to do when you retire?
Probably not as much as I should. Yeah. All I've thought about is I want to live like on Kauai or something like that.
Okay. Yeah. Well, I see, I lived on the islands, and yeah. I will tell you, it's expensive to live
yes,
on the islands.
Very.
Okay. Everything is more expensive. And it's not just a nice place to live, but it's also when you have a properly developed retirement plan and a good nest egg, mm-hmm. it just makes you feel better, right?
Yes, definitely.
Yeah. Well, you know how you get that?
Investing.
Exactly. Now, folks, you could invest the old-fashioned way. You could go to a broker. Mm-hmm. One of these big financial firms, which we all love, right? We all love them.
Sure.
And then they'll charge you fees for all your transactions. And then they're going to charge you fees for actually managing your money, which can be up to like 3%, which is ridiculous that they're charging me to use my money to invest. And you could also wait and wait and wait, because you're not investing millions and millions of dollars with them, to get any sort of human interaction. Yeah, that sounds like fun, right?
Yeah, now I'm just angry.
Yeah, exactly. Well, folks, don't be angry. In fact, just go with Wealthfront. Invest in the digital age. Now, Wealthfront is a different kind of investment company. They understand that not only do you want good investment advice, but you want to be able to see how your investments are doing in real time. And that's exactly what Wealthfront will provide. Where traditional advisors will charge you between 1% and 3% of what they manage, Wealthfront will charge you less than 0.25% a year. That's 25 basis points. Zero commissions and no hidden fees. That's less than $5 a month to invest a $30,000 account. That's unheard of. Now, you can get started investing today with as little as $500. I know there's a lot of you who think, if I'm going to invest, I need 10 grand, I need 20 grand, I need 100 grand. No. If you've got as little as $500, you can open up an account and you can see what Wealthfront will do for you. Now, not only is Wealthfront transparent and accessible, but what I love about it is that it's cold and calculating. They base it on algorithms that you get to select based on if you want more of a risk for more of a return, or if you want something that's more for an investment fund, or if you want to do things like avoid taxes and loss. Wealthfront does all of that automatically without a human trying to muck around with the formula, which, again, in light of recent events, this is exactly what we need for investment in the new age. Now, did you know that more than 90% of portfolios aren't invested the right way for the long term? Well, with Wealthfront, you just get to set it and forget it. Their process is based on Nobel Prize-winning academic research, and it's the best investment practice on the market today. We've heard from many Twit fans who have used Wealthfront and love how they can diversify their portfolios and buy stocks from in-demand companies like Apple, Amazon, and Facebook, all commission-free. They manage over $2.6 billion in client assets, and it's growing rapidly each and every single day. What are you waiting for? If you've got just $500, invest in your future today with Wealthfront. What we want you to do is we want you to visit wealthfront.com/knowhow. That's wealthfront.com/knowhow to sign up and get your free personalized investment portfolio. You'll see the customized allocation they recommend for your profile. And just for Twit listeners, if you sign up to invest today, Wealthfront will manage your first $15,000 entirely free of charge for life. Join the many Twit fans who have seen huge success with Wealthfront and claim your offer today at wealthfront.com/knowhow. That's wealthfront.com/knowhow. Invest smarter, better. Invest with Wealthfront. And we thank Wealthfront for their support of Knowhow. Hey, Brian.
What's up?
How about some questions?
Yeah, some feedback from our Google Plus group.
What do we got?
All right, so our first question, and it's quad related, obviously, comes from Alex Gomez, and he asks, I have a FlySky FS T6 and recently was informed that this remote does not have a receiver that can communicate with PPM. Other than buying a new transmitter, is there a way that I can switch from PWM to PPM?
Why, yes, there is. And actually, this is one of the issues that we ran into with the 150 build, because with the 150 build, you really would want to use PPM rather than PWM, because you can make it smaller. You can make a single wire from the receiver to the flight controller.
Right.
We did it the other way because we didn't want to cheat. We know a lot of our fans, because they bought the gear that we asked them to buy, have PWM receivers. But there is another way. If you can spare a little bit of cash and a little bit of weight in your build, Alex, if you go ahead and go to the first link there, this is a ready-to-fly quads one. This is a, that's not the right one. What Alex will be bringing up in just a bit is a link to a PWM to PPM S-bus converter. And what it allows you to do is it allows you to take in a PWM signal, so 4-8 different channels, whatever you want, and it will convert it into a single PPM out that connects to your receiver.
Okay.
Now, we've got links in the show notes for both the Hobby King and the Ready to Fly Quads versions of this. We'll make sure that they end up in the final mix. I think what happened was I posted the wrong link.
I was going to say, Padre. It's not my fault.
That's not Alex's fault. Actually, that's the second link there, Alex. I think that is, go to the second link. This is the Hobby King version. It's the high precision PWM to PPM S-bus signal converter. Mm-hmm. Not that heavy. This is, it's 12 grams, but you could shave it down a little bit. I've actually played with this. If you remove some of the pins that you don't need, you could get this thing down to about 6 grams.
It's hard to say how big it is from the picture. Is it about the same size as the Arduino that we're playing with?
No, it's tiny.
It's even smaller.
Smaller. It's about the same size as that tiny little flight controller that we had.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah.
Cool. Not too bad.
Personally, I would say do it our way. So if you've got a PWM controller, get a PWM flight controller, and we'll just show you how to lighten it.
Cool.
Okay. So that's that. Let's go ahead and go to the next one, if I can get back to the page, because everything has gone
wonky on my side. Opening links like crazy.
What do we got?
All right. This one comes from Donald Weller. He asks, I want to combine the Christmas Arduino LED episode with the KH250. Specifically, I want to put ring LEDs over each rotor and have the throttle signal for each controller, the color and brightness. So the quad looks like it has sci-fi thrusters controlling it. How would I go about doing this? That is an awesome idea.
It is an awesome idea. And what he's thinking about is these are the little LED rings, the WS2812 rings.
Those are the ones we use for the goggles,
yes,
right?
Yes, 16 LEDs. Mm-hmm. And if you'll notice, they are about the right size to go around a motor. Maybe not this one, because that's a
but
tiny little motor.
But the 250 or 450 would be perfect.
Exactly, right? And so you could build some sort of structure. And believe it or not, if you've got a decent flight controller, like the Flip or the Flip 32, there is enough processing power there to run the quadcopter and push to the rings at the same time.
Nice.
Okay. You could do it that way.
Or
you could just get one of these. Now, these are ready built. In fact, go to the action cam. You can see the difference here. They're about the same size. The difference is this includes the mounting. So the motor actually mounts on top of this. So it's held in place.
That's cool.
And it has its own little Arduino controller.
Perfect.
So you can program this just like we programmed the Arduino Nano when we were doing our other projects.
And then program this to the throttle. Can you program this to the throttle setting? So when it's, if it's the prop is getting more power,
right,
change
colors? Exactly. So you could actually there's two ways of doing it. You can run the ESC input leads through here, and it will be able to tell what's been commanded. So it'll like power up or power down.
Yeah.
Or again, if you have a Flip 32 controller, you can daisy chain it. So it's just getting a bit from the flight controller, and I prefer it that way because then you can do crazy things like if it's banking.
Yeah.
Light up the lights differently so that you can actually see a visual representation of, oh, my quad's going this way, it's going that way, forward, back, et cetera, et cetera.
I like that idea. Yeah, that's cool.
Not bad at all. And actually, Alex, this is the link that you should be showing. Again, they're not super cheap. They're
$11.
$11. They are 5-volt logic. El Cubano wanted to know about this. They are 5 volts, so you're going to have to run it off the same power as the flight controller and the receiver. Mm-hmm. If you try to run these off of main power, you will blow them up.
Oh,
so don't do that.
Not a good idea.
Yeah. I probably wouldn't do this on something like this.
Well, this is a very weight-restricted project.
Right. But on something like the Know-How 250 or on our Alien X,
actually,
it's a great idea.
I think I would do that on the Alien X. Yeah. And then, so which way would you have yours facing, down or up?
What I would do, this is actually one of the things that we've talked about before, because down sounds like the way to do it, but then they're shining directly into your eyes.
Well, and it wouldn't reflect off of anything other than the ground.
Precisely.
When you get close. Yeah.
I would actually probably go up
And then reflect off the propellers?
Yeah, that would be kind of cool, right? You get a little halo effect. But you'd have to use lighter colored props. If you use black props, it's not going to work.
Use like white props. Yeah. And then, yeah, if you did red in the front, green in the back, or whatever, you can definitely see where you're at flying.
The other thing I've done is if you have a 3D printer, you can print a diffuser that just goes over the top. So it diffuses the light rather than having them be, you know, solid beams.
Okay. Yeah, I like that idea too. Yeah, cool.
That's decent. All right, let's do one more.
All right, this one comes from Matt Bachelor. What's the best way to mount a GoPro 3 to the KH250? Any tips for reducing vibration?
Yes.
I have done that.
This.
Yes.
What have you done?
I put it on the top, and it was angled a little bit so that... So when I put... strapped it in here. I just put the GoPro on the top right here and angled it back a little bit. So then when I was flying forward, it was level. But I had pretty much just zip-tied it in there. I didn't have rubber mounts or anything for it.
And you'll notice it's an effect that we call Jell-O.
Yeah.
Which is when you have too much vibration on a CMOS sensor like you have in the GoPro, it will look like the frame is shearing.
Right.
And that's because it's vibrating so quickly that it's... Yeah.
It looks like Jell-O.
Yeah. It looks like Jell-O. And I think that's what he's talking about. That's what Matt's trying to fight.
Mm-hmm.
There are some complicated ways to fight that, and there are some very easy ways to fight that.
Right.
One of the more complicated ways to do it, if you've got a 3D printer, go to Thingiverse and look for the Diatone 250. Just search for Diatone 250.
Okay.
You will see a lot of designs there for a vibration plate for the Diatone 250 frame.
Yeah.
And what it will do is it will give you a mount that fits right here, that fits the GoPro, and then there are little rubber balls. You've seen these rubber balls that connect the plate to the frame. If you look here, you'll notice the frame has little holes. Well, the rubber balls go into that hole, and then on the other side you have the plate.
Yep.
That's actually a fantastic way to reduce vibration.
Yeah.
It is really good. Now, the thing is, if you don't have a 3D printer,
you're kind of...
Yeah, you do the poor man's way.
I zip-tied, but I didn't have any... to reduce vibration.
Yes, but this is still a zip tie, but what you do is you get some of that, not like styrofoam, but the polystyrene foam.
Oh, yeah, okay.
You know, it's more plasticky, it's kind of soft, you can squish it.
Right.
Put a piece all around, so sides, top, bottom, and back, and you just take the zip tie and you go all the way around, and what you've done is you've created like a little donut around the GoPro. It looks stupid.
Right, but
it works so well.
As long as the footage comes out good. It's
right, who cares?
Yeah.
Right? And actually, the other nice thing about that is you can take it out of the case because that polystyrene foam, if you do it right in the front, it will actually protect the GoPro in the event of a crash.
Nice.
Yeah.
And then the third option would be, could you do like a stabilized motor that hangs from it?
Yeah,
you could
put a gimbal on this, but I mean, you're really going to be killing the performance of the 250. I mean, you'd have to hang it like here.
Yeah.
And I don't know how you would land.
Yeah, just get really long, terrible legs on it.
I have actually seen it where you could put an extension off the front and hang it that way, but then you're really upsetting the balance. It's not going to fly right.
Now that I think of it, the first time I did a GoPro on this, it was the Hero 2, so it was my older GoPro, and I wasn't, you know, I wasn't afraid of breaking it so much, so I hung it off the front of the quad, but to counterbalance it, I had the battery like hanging out the back. Poor quad, like it could kind of do this, but then
like,
as soon
what
as
are you doing?
Like, why does it please you to see me suffer?
So yeah, you've got options. You can go the difficult route, you can go the cheap route, you can go the ultra cheap route.
Yeah.
I would say if you've got it, because everyone's got spare foam, just try the foam thing see if that helps. If not, then go for the 3D printed package, which can do a little bit better.
And I don't know with your 250, but when I was flying the 250 with the GoPro attached to it, I didn't have a ton of vibration coming off of it.
Yeah.
So unless I was trying to fly really fast with it, and then it got bad.
Dicey.
Yeah.
Well, folks, we know that this has been a lot of information, and we're going to make sure that you get all the notes and all the links. I actually wrote up step-by-step guides for programming an Arduino and then using it to connect to your ESC, and you're going to find it all where, Ryan?
twit.tv/KH, and not only will you find the show notes with the links for everything today, but you'll find a handy subscribe or download options. And if you thumb through our past episodes, you'll see all the different screenshots that we used. That was from our what was a switch and what was a router
episode. The three dumb routers.
You can see Padre's handy artwork there.
Hey, that's award winning.
You know what? It worked. And I think you were inspired by Mr. Robot. Is that why you did like the circles? And,
pretty much.
Yeah. I liked it.
Also, folks, don't forget that we've got a Google Plus group. Just go to Google Plus and look for Know How. We've got almost 10,000 members. It is a great place to post questions, to help newbies with their questions if you've got a little bit of experience, and to give us videos and pictures of your projects. Mm-hmm. As you can see, we like to pull your questions into the show. We like to pull your projects into the show. Mm-hmm. So if you want to end up on Know How, that's the best place to do it.
Yeah, but that's not the only place that you can catch up with us.
No.
If you want to talk to us directly or you have a question about something, you can find us on Twitter. I'm at @cranky_hippo.
And I am at @PadreSJ. And we've got a third member of the crew. I can never remember what his name is.
We wouldn't be able to do this show without him.
Steve. I think it's Steve. See, he acts like a Steve. Mm-hmm. You can find Steve at ANELF3. That's at ANELF3.
Such a weird Twitter handle
know,
for a
right?
guy named
for Steve. I don't get that. Yeah. Anyway. Folks, also, don't forget that you can join us on our YouTube page. That's mm-hmm. youtube.com/knowhow. If you subscribe, you will get to see videos that don't actually get here on the stream. Mm-hmm. We've got special content just for our YouTube subscribers. And also, don't forget to subscribe to this show, to Know How, again, at twit.tv/KH. If you want to support the show, that's the best way to do it.
That's it.
Hey, Brian, that was a lot.
Yeah.
You should probably sign off.
I think I've hit my limited knowledge for today.
Until next time, I'm Father Robert Ballester.
Yeah, Brian.